We're talking about evolution and the fact that organic evolution has never been observed. And tonight we want to focus on a thing that Darwin never thought. You know, the idea was that just things accidentally mixing chemicals, a lightning bolt here or there or something, and those very simple organisms, those tiny little simple creatures, could be made by accident, see? But what he didn't know, because they couldn't see that small, was that there are complex molecules and organs that are so complex, and so complex in the sense, well, Michael Behe, in his Darwin's Black Box, he says, it's like a mousetrap. You have the block of wood, then you have the spring attached to it, then you have the trap that can be set back, and then you have the latch that sets with the cheese, or we use peanut butter, and that will set off the trap. Now, he says, that's as simple as it gets. You can't get any simpler. You can't evolve the mousetrap. If you have those sticky mousetraps and you leave it there for a long time, it won't evolve into the mechanical mousetrap. See? If you have everything except the spring, if you have everything but the trap, if you have everything but the block of wood, it doesn't work. You have to have all the pieces at the same time, all in order. And he said, and Behe points out, although he holds that undoubtedly there's must be some evolution, but he says that all had to be in place, so there was a design. There was a design. So many molecules, especially those necessary for life, such as DNA, RNA, proteins, are incredibly complex. So complex that claims they have evolved are absurd. There are some things that, you know, imagine some simple little organism, and why, they just bump into each other and they'll be put together. Doesn't happen. Furthermore, these claims lack experimental support. Now, Michael Behe, Darwin's Black Box, he said, there has never been a meeting, scientific meeting, or a book, or a paper on details of the evolution of complex biochemical systems. Nobody even wants to approach this subject. They just recognize it's too much. Behe says on page 186, 187, molecular evolution is not based on scientific authority. There is no publication in the scientific literature, in prestigious journals, specialty journals, or book that describes how molecular evolution of any real complex biochemical system either did occur or even might have occurred. There are assertions that such evolution occurred, but absolutely none are supported by pertinent experiments or calculations. Since no one knows molecular evolution by direct experience, and since there is no authority on which to base claims of knowledge, it can truly be said that, like the contention that the Eagles will win the Super Bowl this year, and I don't know enough about sports to see that that's an impossibility, but the assertion of Darwinian molecular evolution is merely bluster. Yes, that's what we believe. There is no reason to believe that mutations, you remember cosmic rays bombarding the DNA and so on, or any natural process could ever produce any new organs, especially those as complex as the eye, the ear, or the brain. John Stevens, Reverse Engineering in the Brain, published in Byte. While today's digital hardware is extremely impressive, it is clear that the human retina's real-time performance goes unchallenged. So, light hits the retina, that retina then changes it into an electrical pulse that's fed through the optic nerve into the brain. Actually, to simulate 10 milliseconds of the complete processing of even a single nerve cell from the retina would require the solution of about 500 simultaneous nonlinear differential equations 100 times. 500 of these complex equations 100 times, and it would take at least several minutes of processing time on a Cray supercomputer. But this happens in 10 milliseconds. Keeping in mind that there are 10 million or more such cells interacting with each other in complex ways, it would take a minimum of 100 years of the 1985 Cray time to simulate what takes place in your eye many times every second. So just the electrical transfer of light into a current that carries that information to the brain, we don't have a supercomputer that can duplicate it. Frank Werblin and Botond Roska. Hi, I'm Botond. Wow. Movies in Our Eyes, Scientific American. The retina processes information much more than anyone has ever imagined, sending a dozen different movies to the brain. Not a camera, it's a movie camera, you know. Isaac Newton, in his work, Optics, was the eye contrived without skill in optics and the ear without knowledge of sounds? Why would we have an ear if they didn't recognize there would be such thing as sounds? We have things that we don't perceive, you know, the ultraviolet and the infrared that's beyond the spectrum for the eye to see. But all that in between, the eye was made to catch things that the designer had to know would come to us, you see. Had to know that light was going to be there. It's like the helicopter leaves from the maple tree, had to know there was going to be wind where this tree was going to be. It wouldn't carry the seeds anyplace if there was no wind. It'd just fall down and become mulch at the bottom of the tree. Wernher von Braun, probably the rocket scientist most responsible for the United States' success in placing men on the moon. He wrote in a letter read to the California State Board of Education by Dr. John Ford on September 14, 1972, and he said this, "Certainly there are those who argue that the universe evolved out of a random process, but what random process could produce the brain of a man or the system of the human eye?" This is a rhetorical question. He says just to ask it is to say it's impossible for it to happen accidentally, randomly. In his foreword to the book From Goo to You by Way of the Zoo, what a great name, sounds like Dr. Zeus, by Harold Hill, in that foreword, he says, "What random process could possibly explain the simultaneous evolution of the eye's optical system, the nervous conductors of the optical signals from the eye to the brain, and the optical nerve center in the brain itself, where the incoming light impulses are converted to an image the conscious mind can comprehend?" He says, all of this had to evolve accidentally at exactly the same time, or none of it works. Pierre Paul Grasse, Evolution of Living Organisms, said, "The probability of dust carried by the wind reproducing Dürer's Melancholia is less infinitesimal than the probability of copy errors in the DNA molecule leading to the formation of the eye." Errors in the DNA molecule, meaning evolution by accident. Besides, those errors had no relationship whatsoever with the function that the eye would have to perform or was starting to perform. There is no law against daydreaming, but science must not indulge in it. And this emphasis is in the original. And so you're all saying, Dürer's what? You remember Albert Dürer and the Praying Hands? He was the artist. Here's his work called Melancholia. Poof. Poof. There we go. So, this is, black and white. Melancholy person sitting there, and melancholy dog at her feet. And beautifully done, interestingly made. And so the man says, yeah, the dust just settled on it, and it just happened to make it by accident. He says it's a better chance that dust made that than that copy errors made the eye. Ernst Mayr, in Systematics and the Origin of Species, said, it must be admitted, however, that it is a considerable strain on one's credulity to assume that finely balanced systems, such as certain sense organs, the eye of vertebrates, or the bird's feather, could be improved by random mutations. This is even more true for some of the ecological chain relationships, the famous Yucca moth case and so on. Yucca moth, if you don't remember, is the fact that the yucca moth and the yucca plant are interrelated, that the yucca plant is only fertilized by the yucca moth. Without the yucca moth, the yucca plant couldn't exist. But the yucca moth larvae, their babies, only eat yucca plant food. Tests were made with the larva in a jar with all kinds of things. Mixed in it was yucca plant pieces, and the larva searched through until they found the yucca plant and ate only that. So which came first? The food for the larva, or the larva that that became the moth that fertilized the plant? Neither could exist without itself. That's what he's talking about. The interdependency. However, the objectors to random mutations have so far been unable to advance any alternative explanation that was supported by substantial evidence. So he says, this is not making sense. Now, even though Robert Jastrow generally accepts Darwinian evolution, he wrote in Evolution Selection for Perfection in the magazine Science Digest, it is hard to accept the evolution of the human eye as a product of chance. It is even harder to accept the evolution of human intelligence as the product of random disruptions in the brain cells of our ancestors. Intelligence coming from chaos. Many leading scientists have commented on the staggering complexity of the human eye. What some do not appreciate is how many diverse types of eyes there are, each of which adds to the problem for evolution. So, looking at Donald Mikulic, a Silurian soft-bodied biota in Science magazine, he talks about one of the strangest is a multiple-lensed compound eye found in fossilized worms. Another type of eye belonged to some trilobites. You've seen the trilobites, like this, and they have the ridges and so on. You see them in the fossils a lot. Another type of eye belonged to some trilobites, a thumb-sized extinct sea-bottom creature. Evolutionists claim that they were very early forms of life. That was a very complex eye system. Richard Forty and Brian Chatterton in A Devonian Trilobite says, trilobite eyes had compound lenses, sophisticated designs for eliminating image distortion, spherical aberration. You've ever seen a reflection in a ball or a curved mirror? And they have the eyes itself have a system to straighten that out so you can see what it is. Only the best cameras and telescopes contain compound lenses. But the trilobites had it. Ricardo Livaisetti in Trilobites. Some trilobite eyes contained 280 lenses, allowing vision in all directions, day and night. Trilobite eyes represent an all-time feat of function optimization. Here's the thing, if the eye had developed that complex so early, then why did any other eyes develop? It's, you know, the whole thing of evolution is pushing to get better and better. Lisa Shaver, Trilobite Eyes. Science News said that she described trilobite eyes as having the most sophisticated eye lenses ever produced by nature. Stephen Jay Gould in Ediacaran Experiment, printed in Natural History. He says, quote, the eyes of early trilobites, for example, have never been exceeded for complexity or acuity by later arthropods. I regard the failure to find a clear vector of progress in life's history as the most puzzling fact of the fossil record. That such great heights in eyes could be reached so early. Roy Sambles, Armed for Light Sensing in Nature, magazine Nature, the brittle star, an animal similar to a five-armed starfish, has as part of its skeleton thousands of eyes, each smaller than the diameter of a human hair. Each eye consists of a calcium carbonate crystal that acts as a compound lens and precisely focuses light on a bundle of nerves. If an arm is lost, a new arm regenerates along with its array of eyes mounted on the upper back side of the arm. Complex eye system. So while evolutionists had considered these animals primitive, Sambles admits that once again we find that nature foreshadowed our technical developments. Without our technical developments, we would never have been able to recognize what was going on in these eyes. The capabilities of these light-focusing lenses exceed today's technology. We don't even have technology that can do that. Henry Fairfield Osborne, an influential evolutionist, speaking to the American Association for the Advancement of Science in 1929, and that was related by Roger Lewin in Bones of Contention. Osborne said, to my mind, the human brain is the most marvelous and mysterious object in the whole universe, and no geologic period seems too long to allow for its natural evolution. As they have millions and millions of years now, as the idea of evolution, that's not long enough. Not long enough to account for that. Even greater capabilities of the brain have been discovered since 1929. Undoubtedly, more remain to be discovered. Isaac Asimov, some of you know him as a science fiction writer, but he was a science writer. In the game of energy and thermodynamics, you can't even break even. Yeah, the Smithsonian magazine. And in man is a 3-pound brain, which, as far as we know, is the most complex and orderly arrangement of matter in the universe. Just happened to be here on Earth, just happened to be in the brain. Asimov forgot that the brain, and presumably most of its details, is coded by only a fraction of an individual's DNA. The brain comes from the code in your DNA. Therefore, it would be more accurate to say that DNA is the most complex and orderly arrangement of matter known in the universe. The human brain is frequently likened to a supercomputer. In most respects, the brain greatly exceeds any computer's capabilities. Speed is one area where the computer beats the brain, at least in some ways. For example, few of us can quickly multiply 0.0239 times 854.95. Catherine, what do you think? This task is called a floating point operation because the decimal point floats until we or computer decide where to place it. The number of floating point operations per second, or short flops, floating operations per second, is a measure of a computer's speed. As of this writing, an IBM computer can achieve 3,000 trillion flops. That's 3 petaflops, in case you wanted to use it in conversation. One challenge is to prevent these super fast computers from overheating. Too much electrically generated heat is dissipated in too small a volume. So compare it. Overall, the human brain seems to operate at petaflops speeds without overheating. One knowledgeable observer on these ultra-fast computers commented, Ivers Peterson, Petacrunchers, setting a course toward ultra-fast supercomputing in Science News. The human brain itself serves, in some sense, as a proof of concept that cool petaflops machines are possible. Its dense network of neurons apparently operates at petaflops or higher level. Yet the whole device fits in a 1-liter box and uses only about 10 watts of power. That's a hard act to follow. How then, as humans are trying to get their supercomputers anywhere close to that, how then could the brain have evolved? How is that possible? For example, an adult human brain contains over 10 to the 14th, that's 100,000 billion, electrical connections, more than all the soldered electrical connections in the world. Adult brain. Michael Denton, Evolution, the Theory in Crisis, said the human brain consists of about 10,000 million nerve cells. Each nerve cell puts out somewhere in the region of between 10,000 and 100,000 connecting fibers, by which it makes contact with other nerve cells in the brain. Altogether, the total number of connections in the human brain approaches 10 to the 15th. Or 1,000,000,000, a much greater number of specific connections than in the entire communications network on Earth. You can say to people, my brain has more specific connections than the rest of the Earth put together. Deborah Barnes, Brain Architecture Beyond Genes, published in Science, the human brain probably contains more than 10 to the 14th synapses. Marilyn E. Clark, moving away from the brain for a moment, our amazing circulatory system, technical monograph. The human heart, a 10-ounce pump that will operate without maintenance or lubrication for about 75 years, is another engineering marvel. If we had self healing pumps like that, Earth would be a marvel, that's for sure. So you get the idea that the early evolutionists, and Darwin specifically, had no clue of the complexity of these things. They didn't know enough to understand the complexity. Yet there it was in the tiniest of things. And I highly recommend Darwin's Black Box by Mr. Behe. Take the time to get that and read through it. It'll just cheer you up. All the things he talks about, the paramecium with a little outboard motor in the back. It's an actual rotating motor with a little psyllium fiber motor, the blade that propels it through the water. Two little things skiing behind it. It's just amazing. Now I just made that. All right, evolution. They have to believe it, or else they'd have to believe in creating God.